Welcome to Voices of Freedom.
Blog Talk Radio.
Great to have you here this morning. I just had some verses that popped into my head the other day, and it started with search the scriptures, always a good point. But as I got into it and started to look a little bit, there was a whole lot more than meets the eye there. And I kind of want to jump into that because I see in a place in the Bible where Jesus, when everybody comes face to face with Jesus and Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," that has got to be the scariest moment in human history. You know what I mean? Not the scariest, but how about this? The most beyond human history. You see what I'm saying? You can't get there from here kind of thing. Once Jesus says, "Depart from me," there are no more opportunities to come to Jesus. And I really, you know, I just get concerned when I just see such a, you know, there's just a no regard for the holiness of God. There's no regard for the plan that God has. There's, you know, and I mean, we can read about it. You know, it's in the Bible. I mean, we can see, you know, how things have, you know, broken down or are going to break down or how it plays out, however you want to look at it. But at the end of the day, you know, the only person that's got a shot at this thing to help other people is the Christian person. So the devil and all the things that the devil's been working on, it's going to be really crazy when, you know, it goes all the way toward the devil. You know what I'm saying? When he's kind of got free reign. And because I think of this tribulation period, it's sort of like the wrath of God being poured out on the earth. And when that wrath is poured out, you're talking about some very serious stuff, because right now the only thing keeping pure treachery from going on now is the Holy Spirit that lives here and the people who live here that have Jesus living inside of them. So it's that kind of situation that's keeping us from hell on earth, which is coming. And so I wanted to get to a part here and talk to you. Let's see. Yeah, I'm wanting to get to something we can understand, because there's nothing worse than teaching something that's so far over everybody's head that you got to have all these back notes and things to explain it. Let's look here. Let's just go with something simple. Let's think about, you think you have eternal life. It's something I shared in church last night. Okay? There is an opportunity here to have eternal life and to know you have it. But the thing is, going around with just head knowledge, knowledge that never produces any work, knowledge that never, you know, when's the last time? I mean, it's not, you don't confess this to me, you're talking to God, because Jesus is the one that's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But what do you have to show for your Christianity? What have you done? Well, I give at church. Okay. I mean, that's probably going to get you a little bit of credit. But do you do at church? You know, well, everybody can't be the janitor, everybody can't be the choir leader, everybody. You know, there's plenty of work to be done everywhere. You know, but anyway, think on that, because there's a lot to be thought about. And I tell you what, there's some crazy going on. But let me tell you about this here. It says that there was a war in heaven. Okay, and this is in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Right now, the devil can still go to and fro. He's got access to God. God gives that to him, but there will be a war in heaven, okay? At some future point, Satan, okay, the chief of the fallen angels, okay, is going to be forced out. Now, when is this going to be happening, okay? It's at the middle of the tribulation period. God will empower Michael and his forces, okay, to cast Satan and his forces out of access to heaven, so that Satan must therefore confine his activities to the earthly sphere. So think about that for just a little bit. He's not going to be happy about that, okay? He's going to know that the time is closer than it's ever been. I mean, he knows this Bible better than any of us, okay? So now this monstrous character that's been held back throughout the ages since Adam and Eve is finally going to be turned loose, okay? The character of which we call it a dragon sometimes, but it's just the destructive force that this person will have. We can look at how he came as a serpent and how subtle he was to Eve and how he deceived her, and it's coming, okay? But after a certain period of time of deception and the adversary, the devil, doing all that he's doing, at some point he's got you. And then when he's got us, you see, he's coming into a position here, and it says here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, a verse we've heard many times, he deceiveth the whole world. So what's he going to do? How's he going to deceive the whole world? Well, when he steps forward, he's going to be able to calm it all. That ought to tell you, with all the chaos that we have going on in the world right now, if somebody were to step forward and solve all the problems, that ought to scare us to death. Because there is so much turmoil and so much infighting and so much aggravation. And at the end of the day, God's not in any of that. Anywhere. In church, out of church, however you want to look at it. Okay? So through all this, okay, there's an opportunity. Okay? Now has come salvation and strength and the power of the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. There's someone standing at God's ear and accusing you every day, you saved people. So now, if we're not saved, if we've never really sold out to Jesus, we've never really dug in on what Jesus wants us to be, we have a problem. So it says in verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And then it says rejoice in the heavens because the devil has no more access. I don't know what all that meant, okay? But look here what's going to happen. There is going to be a persecution where the devil, when he's cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. Why have the Jewish people been persecuted from out throughout history? Because of this right here, Satan's persecution of Israel, okay, is apparently his opportunity, or not an opportunity, it's his way of trying to exterminate God's chosen people. Now, why would he be trying to kill them people like in the time of Hitler and all that? Well, their eyes weren't open to Jesus, so guess what? All those people that died during that period of time, they didn't know Jesus. I don't know how it's going to work because it says everybody's going to get an opportunity to hear, but that's why I believe he's trying to kill people, is because it's going to be a lot harder for them to get saved during that period of time when they were under such persecution. Same thing today. They're still blinded to the idea of Jesus. But what's going to happen here, okay, the last half of tribulation will be a time of terrible trouble on earth. What does it mean, okay? So believers can get saved during this tribulation period. Is it going to be hard? Yeah, it's going to be difficult. You know, Jesus said that, woe unto those that give suck in those days, meaning those that are nursing children and trying to take care of babies. Man, it's going to be a terrible time to be alive. So with all these things going on, in the midst of it all, Satan is turning his persecution on Israel. It's still going on there a little bit, but this is what's going to happen in this tribulation period. The eyes of the Jewish people will be open, and they'll start to get saved. See? But now, if you look at what the numbers are, the numbers estimate here says 2/3 of the Israelites will die. See? Now, how do I get that? Well, it says according to Zechariah chapter 13, verses 7 through 9. See? So what does this mean? Okay. It's just talking about a tremendous, a great tribulation. A great amount of people are going to die. 2/3 of all of Israel is going to die during this period of time. Listen, if you want to get saved today's the day. You say, well, I'm not a Jew, so it don't apply to me. Listen, if it's hard for people that God loves and he loves us all, it ain't going to get no easier. So it is time to make a move to Jesus Christ. See, and the serpent, it says in verse 15, this is Revelation chapter 12, verse 15, it says, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. See, it's an overwhelming evil and an overwhelming persecution that's coming this way. See, Satan, through the Antichrist and all the evil demons, and already he's the principality, he's over the corruption of the world right now. So it's already there. It's on your doorstep. And for us to have an opportunity to push it back a little bit as Christians and not being willing to, or having a head knowledge of Jesus but not being able to suffer for him, he says, if I suffer with him, I will reign with him. I believe I have a little bit of suffering for Jesus. Is it massive? Is it physical? Not yet. But there are some little subtle things that happen. So think about those. So there's a remnant of Jewish believers that are going to come out of this tribulation period because they have refused to worship Satan and the beast. Now, it could also be Gentile believers who are the seed of Abraham through Christ. But the last half of tribulation will be worldwide persecution like no other time in history for those who genuinely believe in Jesus Christ. And we get over here, and there's another place, I don't know if I can find it, but it talks about the martyrs, those that were killed for believing in Jesus Christ during this period of time, scream out for vengeance near the end of tribulation. And God says, hold on here a second. I will take care of this situation, you see. So where is the marriage between the Antichrist, Satan, and this false prophet? Well, if the Antichrist is going to have your political answers for the day, he's got to have a false prophet. He's got to have a chief religious figure in the world during these tribulation times. See? So, he's apparently going to be of Jewish descent, going to have some information or be able to handle the religious affairs of the day, motivated by Satan. Authority given to him that will promote the worship of the Antichrist, which will authenticate his ministry with signs and wonders, which will deceive, which again is Satan empowering his Antichrist and his false prophet in order to make him appear as Jesus did when he did his miracles and things as he got here. So just as the Father sends the Holy Spirit to accomplish his will, so the false prophet will carry out this program of the Antichrist. So Christians need to recognize the attempt for Satan to minimize the plan of God. Satan is not at full force right now. The restraining power of the Holy Spirit is keeping things held back. Okay? Now, what we're looking at here is when we get over here into this situation in chapter 14 of Revelation, we're talking about a bunch of sealed Jews, okay, that are going to, it says, the 144,000 sing a new song of worshiping and redemption. The four beasts and elders are the same as chapter 4, and the 144,000 were virgins and not defiled with women, may indicate celibacy and sexual purity or morally and religious purity, okay? Either maybe a refusal to bow to the false religion of the day. So what are we doing here, okay? There's an everlasting gospel talked about here in Revelation 14, verse 6. The good news that Christ will win this thing and the beast will be judged. See, the redemption still comes through Jesus Christ and the coming of his kingdom, okay? The hour of the judgment is coming. Babylon is fallen. And those who worship the beast will be punished forever. I don't worship the beast. I just don't get involved. Boom. Wrong answer. All these churches and all these people that won't get involved and won't stand up and won't do things, man, I feel so sorry for you. Because at the end of the day, the problem is the problem. And you say, the problem is the problem. What does that mean? It means we're part of the problem. We're not part of the answer for Jesus Christ right now, because churches will not stand up. They will not put the ones out that need put out. You say, what does that mean? I'm saying you've got to tell the church, as the one of the lights in the church, is here's how this thing plays out. Here's how the devil is using certain people and certain ideologies to crowd in on the things of God. Here's how this certain group of people are starting to sue churches. They're starting to kill Christians. Even in the United States of America, something that has been happening for millenniums around the world. So if I sit here and I know it's happening and I do not stand up, I might as well be with the devil. Because I'm not standing, see? And it really scares me, because that depart from me, I never knew you, I can just hear such a hollow voice. Depart from me, I never knew you. Who wants to hear that? I mean, none of us want to hear it, I mean, for sure. But when we go through and we look at a place where a third of the population of the world dies, and we get over there in another place and another fourth of the population dies, and the blood is dirt, and the water's turned to blood, and the locust, and the filth, and the stench, and the death, and all of these things. And the power of God just sitting back and watching it, because it's the judgment on the earth that God has held back. And then the battle comes in Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 through 16. What's going to happen here? The battles, the whole world lines up to fight the battle. The third vial turns all fresh water to blood. The second vial, I should have started with the first, but turns the sea to blood. Well, we don't drink seawater, do we? But guess what we do? We drink that fresh water up. It's gone. That the righteousness for God to judge the earth comes from the fact that the beast and his followers have shed the blood of saints and prophets. Those who shed the blood of God's people must now drink the blood. Isaiah 49:26. Now, let's look at something else. The fourth vial scorches the earth with fire from the sun. The fifth vial produces darkness on the seat and the kingdom of the beast. His seat is his throne or headquarters, which will probably be Rome or Jerusalem. His followers suffer pain, agony, and fear. So once again, the power of God is that he's punishing them that are evil right there in the middle of their persecution of the Christian people. So the sixth vial results in the gatherings of the armies of the world together in Palestine. Uh-oh, we hear Palestine in the news all the time. What's so important about Palestine? What's so important about moving the capital of Jerusalem, of Israel to Jerusalem, and all these, the UN, or not the UN, but our embassy there? This is where it's all going to play out, folks, in the Battle of Armageddon. The river of Euphrates at the northeastern border of the promised kingdom of Israel is dried up at this point, so that the kings of the east may come into Palestine. Probably talking about China, India, or maybe some of the other oriental areas there of the world. These kings are going to come in with 200 million horsemen. Now, today, what would 200 million horsemen be? Well, it could be all kinds of different things, right? But the power of the world is going to come into this Palestinian area of Palestine, and the battle is going to take longer to set up than it will to fight it. Okay? So the unclean spirits are the demons which support the Antichrist during this. The kings of the earth and the whole world, they gather in Palestine to fight against the second coming of Jesus Christ. Listen, how crazy is that? There's crazy going on in our society, in our community today, but they will battle or think they're going to battle the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is Satan's final attempt. Now, we've seen the movies. We've seen how they've tried to dramatize how Satan was involved in the death of Jesus and the punishment of Jesus. And Satan is going to be involved in this because this is his final attempt to keep Jesus from coming back. Now, why in the world, you know, he would think this is possible? I don't know, but he's desperate. He's got to try something. Okay. So at this period of time, in verse 16, when they're gathered together in a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Now, what does that mean? Okay. The seventh vial produces the destruction of Babylon, a great city. Is it a world system? Probably, right? Babylon is further described and identified in chapter 17 and 18. The statement, "It is done," shows that with this vial and the return of Christ himself, the judgments are now finished. A tremendous earthquake destroys the great city and the cities of the nations. The cup symbolizes the wrath of God. The large hail, a talent weighing 60 to 100 pounds, may help destroy the cities. But unbelieving mankind will still blaspheme God after all this, and now has no opportunity for repentance. The last vow is the seventh vow, the seven plagues, and also completes both the seven trumpet and the seventh seal. So, what are we looking at here? Okay, the great whore, which is Babylon. Boy, whore is a word that nobody wants to be called. But if we really take a close examine of ourselves, we'll all sell our soul for about anything that can get us a physical advantage, that can get us a monetary advantage, that'll do a bunch of different things. So you're going to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You're going to hear that this is not the way, I mean, it's over, okay? So the waters represent the various peoples and nations of the earth. Sitteth upon them and is a sense of the worldwide influence of the fornication and the harlotry and just how we've corrupted ourselves. We've got people in positions of power. The corruption is knee-deep. There's such sadness in the world right now. And guess what? There's an opportunity in the United States of America for us to stand up and prolong the days. Are we sticking our head in a yellow jacket nest? Maybe. But it's God's will that you do it. It's God's will that you step up and you do something. You see? Because the system, the harlots, the churches that are just saying, "I love Jesus," but they're against everything. See, the problem here is God wins this battle and we're not on God's side. Well, how do you know, Lunsford? You don't listen. I can see is how I know. You say, "Well, you don't know what's in somebody's heart." No, I don't know what's in your heart. But let me tell you about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness. Against such there is no law. I roll over to the book of James and say, where there is no, or wait a second, it says, faith without works is dead. We don't do anything anymore. We're not interested anymore. We can't battle anymore. We don't care anymore. We don't hurt when others hurt anymore. We'll sit and just about let somebody beat you to death, either physically, mentally, or browbeat you, and then just say, "Well, that's life." We're such a sad situation because we've given up. And now we sit and we look at so many different situations going on in the world. And it's so sad to think that we missed a great opportunity to be what Jesus wants us to be. Well, how do we miss out on what Jesus wants us to be? Because he had a plan for your life. He had a plan for you to be bold. He had a plan for you to do something, and you would not do it. He had a plan for you to be, you know, a powerhouse for Jesus Christ. But what'd you do? Well, you know, you let people beat you down. Well, you didn't stay in the Bible. Well, you didn't continue to grow. Well, you didn't go. Well, you know, you took the wrong side in the church revolt. Whatever it is. And then you come before Jesus and you had the head knowledge, but it just never got where it needed to go. It just never got there. Now, I don't know what you're thinking, and it's none of my business what you're thinking, you know, but I'm telling you, you are going to have to stand in front of Jesus Christ one day, and if all you've got to rely on is something that's in your head, you have nothing. The devil has more head knowledge of Jesus Christ than you and I will ever have. So I hope and pray that you find something a little deeper, that you find a mission, you find something you can believe in, and you pour your heart into it, and you put a little bit of your money into it. You know, is the money important? You know, I used to think it was, because money was important to me. But it's sort of like confessing your sins, I believe. God knows the sins that are in your life. He's not expecting you to confess those sins so that he figures out what they are. He wants to hear you confess your sins so he can figure it out. Folks, that's where we're at in this thing today. We're not going to surprise God with anything we do. But if I'm going to go and say I love Jesus and I'm going to suffer for Jesus, but yet I won't do anything for him, I won't step out for him, I won't be strong for him, then what do we have? I don't think we have anything. A lot to be thought about there, isn't there? What do you have with Jesus Christ today? What do you have? You see, what has Jesus done for you? Well, he did it all. What have you done for Jesus? I'm there every time the church doors open, and I tell you, I'm afraid a lot of people right behind head knowledge is going to be, man, I was faithful to the church. But you see, the church has got to reach out. The church has got to do. The church has got to grow. Man, I tell you what, you got to do something for Jesus outside the church house. We're all bold in the church house. We're all excited about Jesus Christ in the church house. Now, what's the deal? What am I going to do? Am I going to do something today for Jesus Christ? I hope this program has something to do. It's to tell you that, hey, anybody can be saved. And it's a whole lot easier to get saved right now because the Holy Spirit of God is still here with the church members who are truly saved. There's going to come a day and the Holy Spirit's going to leave out of here. And at the end of that time, it's going to be a sad situation. So I wish you the best, but I'm telling you what, when you hear that final door shut, just about the time you hear, depart from me, I never knew you.